Good morning. Everybody have a good week? I think sprung finally sprang. Well, no, not really. I exaggerate, right? Wishful thinking, that's right. I don't know what the parrot is all about. Any ideas? I don't know where it came from. I think, you know, if you find the parrot in Trader Joe's, you get a sucker. So, I don't know. Al, did you put that there? No? It wasn't you? All right, well, I understand that. Jimmy Buffett? It goes along with my shirt, so we'll take that. Hey, so have you ever heard the term, one man's junk is another man's treasure? Do you believe that? So my junk could be your treasure? Or vice versa, your junk will not be my treasure, okay? I do not want it. Well, one of the things we like to do is we like to go into thrift stores. Anybody here like thrift storing? Come on. You know, some people are like, we're out on this. We like to go into thrift stores, and very seldom do we ever go into a thrift store that we do not find some amazing treasure that you just have to have. You can't live without it, yeah. And how somebody could take that treasure there and take it to the thrift store and how they could live without it, I'll never understand. My greatest thrift store treasure I ever found was a coffee pot, okay? We went to one of the ones over in Ketchum, Haley, somewhere over there, and went to this thrift store, and there's this coffee pot there. I was like, oh, that looks like a pretty nice coffee pot. So I pull it down, and it had it where you could put your beans in, and it ground your beans right into your filter, and then, you know, just fresh as you could possibly get coffee. You could set a timer on it so that, you know, when you wake up in the morning, your coffee is ground and brewed. When you stumble downstairs to get your first cup of coffee. Now, I thought, this is really a great idea. So I look at the price tag on it, $70. It's like, for a used coffee pot, really? Do we have, you know, $70? It's like, well, they value it a lot more than I do. Well, looking at it, it was brand new, never been used. You can tell if a coffee pot has been used. Okay, I look at a lot of coffee pots in the thrift stores, and I can tell when they've been used. So I look at this coffee pot, never been used, not once. I look at the grinder. Never used. It had never been used. It was brand new, just out of the box. I figure it was probably a store display. So I whip out my trusty smartphone and check it out on Amazon. And this $70 coffee pot was $280 brand new on Amazon. I thought, still $70? And that day, and only that day, we hit that store at the right time. At the right moment, because everything in that store was guess what? Half off. Everything in the store. Not just the neckties, because sometimes you go in and it's like, hey, today only, neckties 50% off. Or shirts 50% off. It's like, well, I don't need any more clothes. But everything in the store 50% off. So that $70 coffee pot then turned to $35. I'm getting it. Well, do you know what Maddie happened to have in her purse, in her wallet? A coupon, okay? Well, it was a punch card, all right? 10 punches, two of them, two punch cards, completely full, for $10 off of each punch card. So we used those two punch cards. Do you know how much that coffee pot cost? No, $235 because it took $100 for each punch card to fill up, okay? Not really. It cost what? I do the math here. $15 for this $280 brand new coffee pot that I loved and adored and enjoyed for several years before it finally gave up on me. And I would have never given up on it, but it gave up on me. I'm hoping that I can fix it. But anyway, that's beside the point. Thrift storing. That junk that gets put on those shelves at the thrift store, what do you do with it? You know, and I know, you know, someone is like, that stuff's for something else. But there's a lot of stuff in a thrift store, and there are a lot of thrift stores. Okay, you know, I mean, you could go out and spend a whole day thrift storing in certain towns, certain places. And, you know, and somewhere in one of those stores is a discarded, tired old piece of junk, ready to be tossed in a landfill, to be lost forever. But it's there to be redeemed by somebody who looks at that and says, this is my treasure. This is my treasure. So when I go into a thrift store and we go into a thrift store, it's like, what is going to become my treasure today? Because you do not walk out of a thrift store without something in your hands as a treasure. Okay, whether it's a big old crock about that big around and about that tall to put a plant in. Okay, or even a, I don't know, whatever else you find in there. You can find a lot, but it's plucked from that shelf, rescued from a place of sure destruction. Because you know what? If somebody puts that in a landfill, what's going to happen? John's going to take it away, right? Yeah. And it's lost forever. We have been plucked out of a thrift store. You and I, as believers, have been plucked out of that thrift store, put into a place as a valuable treasure. If you have your Bibles out today, you want to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Or you can look up here on the screen, maybe, if it works. Now it's off. There we go. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son." He rescued us from a domain of darkness, from where we were and what we needed to be rescued from. You see, the idea of rescuing, you know this, the idea of rescuing is being taken from a place where you're in need to a place where you're no longer in need. Okay? And he took us from a place needed rescued from under the authority of Satan, from the world, from the rule of death and separation. Ephesians 2:1 says that, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sin." Okay, took us from a place where we were dead in our sins, dead in our trespasses, separated from him, and in the ultimate need of being rescued. He took us from a place where we needed to be ultimately rescued to making us a treasure, where we were dead on the shelf with no hope until he plucked us off of that shelf and made us alive. He rescued us from a state of death and separation from God. You know, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and this is a review, all right? When Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden, the consequences became very, very real. God said very clearly that in the day that they ate of that tree of knowledge, what would happen? They would surely die. Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17 says, "You will surely die." Well, there's a few aspects of death. You know, when we think of death, what do we think about? Ultimately, we think of the time when our spirits are separated from this body, when our bodies pass away, when our bodies die. That's what we think of when we think of death. But there are actually a couple more aspects of death. First, obviously, the death to the physical body. That separation of man's spirit from his body when we die. We know this all very well. You know, not one of us in this room has not been touched by death in some way, whether it was a parent, a grandparent, whatever. We have all been touched by death. It brings with it grief, and it means one thing, separation. We're no longer with the person that we cared for, with the person that we loved. We're separated from that person, and they'll never return. And I'm sure immediately after Adam ate that fruit, that he remembered those words that surely you will die. And it was not an immediate death of the body, you know, because when he ate, he didn't just drop dead like that. It was, however, a life source that was cut off. He ate that fruit, that life source was cut off, just like a flower. You know, once that life source is cut out, that flower doesn't die. Okay? It doesn't die right away. It begins the process of dying, but not immediately. You know, take the flowers on the piano here. Okay? They're very nice, but you cut them off the vine and they won't die because they're fake. But they look very real. Okay? Somebody probably watered those this morning. So that's the idea, you know, that physical death, that they don't die right away. Adam was cut off from that life source, and he began to physically die. And though the body dies, the spirit goes on living, and it will continue to live forever. That's the spirit. That death, that physical death, is when the spirit is separated from that body. Well, there was also death to relationship. Death to relationship. Separation of man's spirit from God at that moment. There's death to relationship. Adam and Eve had a close friendship and relationship with God. They had fellowship together. They walked together. They talked together. And their disobedience ended that relationship with God. And their disobedience, not only did it end their relationship with God, it ended our relationship with God as well. See, and that's where you and I fit into all this. You know, something that Adam and Eve did. Adam did way back in the day. Okay. Millennials ago, you and I are affected by that, and that our relationship ended too. Romans 5:12 says that, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Because of Adam and Eve's sin and their disobedience, our relationship between God and man is finished. We no longer have a relationship with God and man, because God is holy. He is righteous. He's perfectly righteous. Okay. And he has to separate himself from sin. And because of Adam, we have sin. So we are separated from God because of sin. And he separates himself from sin and all who sin. So we know how God feels about sin and how he felt about Adam and Eve's disobedience there in the garden. He's angry about it. He's angry about it. It is a righteous indignation that God has towards sin. It grieves him. Sin grieves him. It grieves him it grieved him the day that Adam and Eve disobeyed and sinned, knowing that he could not have any part of that sin. He had to separate himself from that. And yet, the ones he created to have fellowship with, to have a relationship with, sin separated them. And it must have grieved him. You know, yes, because sin is sin, it's disobedience, but it grieved him, I think, because it did separate them. These two people whom he had fellowship with, these two people whom he had a relationship with, disobeyed, and all of a sudden they were separated. And it grieved him. And he hates sin. He is removed from sinful man. He has separated himself from sin. Like people want to separate themselves from their, you know, once perfect treasure and send it to the thrift store. Okay? It hasn't met their need. It hasn't met their expectation through the years. So they discard it and send it to the thrift store. Okay? God cannot have any part of sin. He has to separate himself from sin. He has to discard sin from himself. And so God has flung man far away to get rid of the sin that man has. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you that he does not hear." So that he does not hear. The perfect righteous God cannot allow sin in his presence. He cannot allow sin in his presence. He is separated from man forever because of sin and his righteousness. He has removed himself forever from sin. So people don't want to, you know, they don't want to take that treasure back. You know, somebody sends something to a thrift store. They don't go into that thrift store a few days later and buy it back, do they? At least not intentionally. You know, it's like, oh, I used to have one of these. I think I'm going to get this because I used to have one. Well, it might have been yours, right? There was a time when we were in school where we had a decoration, and we had, back in that day, we had a thing called the mission barrel, and you know, we had, it was some type of a decoration or something, wasn't it? Anyway. Yeah, golden angel spreaders. Okay, like butter jam spreader type things. We sent them to the mission barrel because we didn't use them. We didn't like them. So, 4 or 5 years later, we're down in Florida, and somebody brought us these angel spreaders. Okay, they brought them to us. Why? Because they remembered that we had a set of these angel spreaders. All right, and they thought that we might like them because it would go with our set that we already had. Anyway, so they came back to us. They came back. That's beside the point. But he is separated from man forever, separated from them. So, you know, sin has an infinite and eternal ramification, doesn't it? It separates us from God. It separates us, that relationship from God. And you know, sin entered the world, and it won't go away in this age, and it has forever separated us from God. So that's the death. That's that separation from our spirit because of sin. Well, death also has a separation of man's future joy, a separation of man's spirit from God forever. So we looked at death, you know, the physical body, when our spirit is separated from our physical body, and we also looked at death in that relationship with God, that separation. Well, now God is preparing a place for us that is going to be wonderful. For you and I as believer, He's preparing a place that's going to be wonderful. And it's so wonderful that it's considered the hope of glory. It is considered something that you and I can have a hope in as believers. We have been separated from that hope. People have been separated from that hope because of sin. We're dead to that hope because of sin. You know, the hope of glory is an eternity, but because of sin, that's separated. Because of that death of from our spirit to that future joy. Matthew 25:46 says, "These will go away into eternal punishment." So it's not just about, it's just not about being separated from that eternal hope of glory. Okay? It just doesn't end there. But there is an eternity of punishment here that we see in Matthew 25:46. "These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteousness into eternal life." But the righteous will go into eternal life. So sin and death are two things that humans have in common. Every one of us have that in common, is sin and death. God does not try to make the subject of death pretty, does He? He doesn't. But He tells it like it is. He tells the truth about the consequences and the ugliness of sin, is that sin causes death. It causes that physical death. It causes the spiritual death. And it causes an eternal death, an eternal separation with Him. And this is our situation, in a desperate place, and we need help. We need salvaged. We need rescued. We need redeemed. Okay? We need to be rescued from where we are to another place. We need rescued to another place that is safe. And God is not in the business of recovery. He is in the business of rescuing. Sometimes we think that, well, you know, and sometimes it's the case that when somebody puts their faith in Christ, they're instantly changed. In fact, some would say, well, if you're not instantly changed, then you really didn't put your faith in Christ in the first place. Okay? We expect that instant change. But God is not concerned. Maybe that's not the right word. God is more concerned about our rescue, about our redemption, than our recovery. Okay? Yes, we put our faith in Christ, but sometimes there are things in a person's life that they can't get away from right away. Okay, they can't get away from maybe a physical addiction right away because it's physically hard. Does God deliver people from that situation once in a while or on occasions? Yes, He does. You hear the stories all the time. Are there others who continue to struggle throughout their whole Christian life because of an addiction? Yes, there are. There are. So that is not a condition of salvation, is that you're changed instantly in that way. Okay? We are in a separate place. So God is rescuing us. His desire is that none should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. Okay? We talked about this morning a little bit in the Bible study. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count as slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Okay, He transferred to us the kingdom of His beloved Son. He transferred to us, you and I, you know, when we put our faith in Christ, to the kingdom of His beloved Son. He took us off that thrift store shelf and made us His treasure in Christ, the Redeemer, the Rescuer. He found a treasure in you. He found a valuable treasure in you, something that was discarded, something that had no value, something that was dead, put on that shelf. He found you and made you His treasure. When you put your faith in Christ, we have a rescue to salvage us from that danger of separation, to salvage us from a lost condition. There's a train back in World War II, toward the end of World War II, that was loaded with Jewish people. It was loaded like cattle on their way to slaughter, and it was headed toward a camp to be exterminated. These people were headed to a camp to be exterminated. Okay, you know the stories. You've read the stories. You've seen the stories. And there's no hope. They knew where they were going. They knew that their ultimate destination was destruction. And so this death train headed down the track of darkness and separation from all that they knew that was good. You know, they went from having a somewhat of a normal life to being put on trains headed toward these death camps. Well, the train stopped in the middle of pretty much nowhere, in the middle of the track there. And next to them was another train headed in the opposite directions. Well, the doors flung open, and you can imagine their thoughts as these bright lights, you know, came in as the sun glared in there. And they're greeted by soldiers. And these soldiers were different. They were different than the soldiers that had put them on the trains. These were soldiers, instead of guns and artillery, they carried food and water that they gave to these people. And they instead of angry words, they had care and concern in their voices. So they're moved from this cattle cars that had been home to them for who knows how many days as they were traveling on this train. They were moved from that to a train cars that were designed to carry people in comfort and style. And so the train begins to move in the opposite direction, and they've been rescued from certain death. They'd been rescued, but from certain death, and their lives had been saved, and they'd been rescued and placed on a train with the final destination of the United States of America. And everyone knew back then that that was a place where they could be safe. Everyone knew that it was a place where they would start a new life, a better life, a safer life for them and their families, and they would be freer. They were rescued out of the death train into a safe train and placed in a position that was better than they were where they were at. They were plucked from that train, the death train, into life. Well, they're salvaged from a thrift store shelf, and you know, it's remade into a treasure. You and I, when we put our faith in Christ, we have been salvaged from that thrift store shelf and remade into a valuable treasure. Back to 1:13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. God rescued us through his beloved Son, saved our life, took us out of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, the kingdom of his beloved Son, you know, when we're brought out of that danger into safety, we were given so much more than just safety. You see, oftentimes when we think of rescue, you take a person and you rescue them from danger, you put them in a safe place, and then it's like, okay, have a great day. You're safe now. And sometimes that's the case, you know. I mean, sometimes somebody just needs to be rescued. They're physically fine. They just need to be rescued off the cliff. So, but when you and I were rescued, when you and I put our faith in Christ and his work on the cross, we were rescued, and we weren't just rescued and our life saved, our eternity saved. We were rescued and given a better life. We were remade to become something that has greater value than what we were before. And we become a treasure that will last forever in Christ Jesus. We were rescued from death, put into life, but not just life. We were put into a better life than what we could possibly ever imagine. Think of the life that you and I have. We can look at things and have joy. Okay, when we look at current events, you know, we don't have to dread those current events. Do we dread the uncomfort that it is once in a while? Yeah, we do. Okay, we do dread that. But ultimately, we can have joy, can't we? We can have joy because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us and gives us joy. We become a treasure that will last forever, a treasure that will never be returned where it came from. You pick something up at the thrift store, what happens? You have this treasure, and then you get tired of that treasure. And where does it go? Back to the thrift store. Now, if you think of the thrift store economic theory here, they could sell stuff over and over and over and make this profit on the same thing over and over and over, right? I mean, theoretically, that can happen. But we become this treasure that will never be returned where it came from. Romans 8:38 and 39 says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We cannot be separated. You see, once He's taken us off that shelf and He has put us into His treasure chest, He will never return us back to that shelf. We will continue to be His precious treasure. Continue into eternity to be that precious treasure. We are safe in the arms of our Savior. We are transferred from death and separation to sitting on the right hand of God. We are transferred from sitting on that shelf to sitting at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. You know, Galatians 2:20 reminds us that we are in Christ, and as I am in Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ in me. Okay. And because we are in Christ, where is Christ? He's at the right hand of God. Well, that's where you and I are at positionally. Obviously, physically, we're here. But spiritually, positionally, identificationally, we're at the right hand of God. And there's no better place that we can be. We've been rescued from danger. And not just put in a safe place, but put into a better place than just safety. You and I have an identity. In that rescue, we've been rescued. We've been rescued to a safe place, and we have been given an identity that has nothing to do with our physical life, has nothing to do with our successes or our failures, but it has everything to do with Christ in you. And those identification truths, those identifications, realities of who you and I are in Christ, they will never change. They will never change. They will always be the same for who we are. And it's only through Christ and His provision of redemption that we have that identification. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have what? Redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Redemption. Our rescue is through redemption. And that redemption is because our sins can and have been forgiven. We are redeemed because God has dealt with our sins. We are redeemed because Christ took our sins and nailed them to a cross. And by putting our faith in Christ for what He has done on that cross, He has taken our sin that separates us from God, our sin that causes death, death being that separation. He's taken our sin that causes that death. And He has bridged that gap and He has dealt with it so that our sins can be forgiven. And so when God looks at us, He looks at us like He looked at Adam and Eve in the garden before they disobeyed Him, where He can have fellowship with us, where He can have a relationship with us. Because when He sees us as His righteousness in Christ. We can have that relationship. Once we've found and taken off that shelf and been redeemed to the treasure that God intended us to be when He created us, intended us to have that relationship and that fellowship with Him, that redemption is possible because of the blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of the Lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. His death on the cross, His final sacrifice, a ransom from our sins, has redeemed us. Remove that curse of sin and death, and we're no longer separated from God, but we have a relationship with Him now. And that relationship with Him can cause us to have fellowship with Him. Putting our faith in Christ gives us the ability to have a relationship. It gives us a relationship with God, and our walk with Christ, our walk in our Christian life, is that fellowship that we have with Him. Redemption has released us from the bondage of sin into the freedom of grace. And redemption is that rescue from sin's penalties, because through the blood of Christ, our sins are forgiven. He no longer sees our sin, all because of His lavish grace. This is, you know, can't go without talking about this verse. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. That lavish grace. That lavish grace, He has taken us from being on a thrift store shelf to becoming His precious treasure. And He did it, and you know, He didn't have to do it, but He did it. He did it because of His great love for us. He chose to look beyond our sin and make a way that he could love us and have a relationship with us so that we can have a relationship with him. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? Let's pray. Lord, we do just thank you for this reminder today and just of that amazing love, that amazing grace that you had for us, that you have for us. That you would look at us as not just being junk that has been thrown on a shelf at a thrift store for somebody else to purchase, but you look at us as a precious treasure. That when you see us through Christ, you see us as that precious treasure. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.